Shalom Aleichem, now the viewers. We continue with our Shu'urim in Chassidus. This week's Pasha is Pasha's Pinchas, and our Shir is dedicated to the memory of Rochel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi, Aleha Shalom, and we're discussing some of the ideas of Shemesh Shmuel, the Rebbe from Sochatchev. And we're dealing with some things he wrote on pages Shin Nun Tes and Shin Samach, as well as pages Shin Samach Vav through Shin Samach Ches in his book on Chumash Bamidbar. Now, I want to discuss a couple of things which he has in his book. This week's parasha, we read where Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Ribbono Shel Olam to appoint a new leader, because Moshe Rabbeinu has been told that he will not lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel. So he asks Hashem, he asks God, if he could appoint a new leader. And this pasuk, and God then tells him, yes, you take Yehoshua. He's going to be the leader after you. And in Moshe Rabbeinu's request, he writes, he says, Yivgod Hashem Elokei Harucha is l'chol basa isha lo eda asher yetzer lefneim v'asher yavar lefneim v'asher yotziyem v'asher yaviyem. Says, let the Almighty God appoint, the Mighty God who knows the spirits of all flesh, let this Almighty God appoint a man to lead the congregation who will go in front of them and will come back in front of them. Will take them out and will bring them back. And let not the congregation of God be like sheep without a shepherd. And Hashem tells Moshe, take Yehoshua ben Nun, and he's a person of spirit, and rest your hands on his head, and appoint him in the National Assembly with the laws of the Kohen, and appoint him as the new Jewish leader after you. Now, immediately after this episode in the Torah, which is Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Dalet in the Pasha, immediately after that, we read about the commandment which Hashem tells Moshe to command the Jewish people to bring sacrifices on all the different Jewish holidays. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh. And the sages are puzzled by this juxtaposition, by this putting the discussion of the Jewish leadership right in front of the discussion of the sacrifices for Shabbos and Yom Tov, the daily sacrifices of the Jewish people. So Rashi brings it down, and that God tells Moshe, you asked me to take care of my children with a good Jewish leader. I'm asking you for your children to take care of me by bringing the daily sacrifices, the Shabbos, weekly sacrifices, the holiday sacrifices. So this is a very strange statement in the Rashi from our sages, that there is some connection between the issue of the continuation of Jewish leadership after Moshe Rabbeinu and the mitzvah of Karbonos, of Karbonos Sibur, the mitzvahs of the national sacrifices which are done in the Mishkan and then later on in the Beis HaMikdash, daily, Karbon Tamid, every Shabbos, every holiday, every chag. there's some kind of a connection, some kind of bridge between the issue of replacing Moshe with Yehoshua and the mitzvah of Kabanos Musaf, that there should be Kabanos Tamid every day, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, Musafim. What's the connection between these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of a melech, of a Jewish king, a Jewish leader, and the mitzvah of Musafim, of Kabanos, of Tamid and Musaf, the daily and weekly and holiday sacrifices. In terms of explaining this, Shema Shmuel refers us to another Rashi. When Moshe asks the Almighty for a Jewish leader, he uses the term Hashem Elokei Aruches L'chol Basa, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Why does he use that term? Okay, Arucha is the Chol Basa, the spirits of all flesh. And then, a little bit after that, he says, it says in the Torah, that God tells Moshe, Kach lecha is Yeshua ben Nun, take Yeshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo, a person who has a spirit. What's this emphasis on the word ruach? Spirit. So Rashi says, "Sheyuchal haloch keneged ruchay shel kol echad ve'echad." The Jewish leader, and who is Yehoshua ben Nun, has to have the ability to deal with every individual Jew's unique spirit. Now, really, my dear friends, this is an amazing and an enormous challenge of a leader. Leaders are in charge of masses of people. The king is in charge of the whole nation, numbering to the millions. China is a country of over a billion people. Now, a leader of a nation dealing with a mass of people is one thing, but Chas v'Shalom, the Torah has a very great emphasis on the individuality of every person. Granted, we are a nation, we are a mass of many people who function as a national unit. But Baruch Hashem, thank God, we are also individuals. My idea is not your idea. We don't agree about everything. That's why we have our individuality. We have our own unique personalities, our own unique ways of thinking about things. And the Torah, in general, emphasizes both aspects of the human being. The aspect of a Jew, in particular, as being a unique individual, and also as being part of the mass of the Jewish nation. We spoke about this many times in our other Shir on Pinchas. We spoke about the concept of Ish Echad, Belev Echad, that the Jewish people have to be united as one. And many mitzvahs in the Torah are for the individual. And some mitzvahs are for the community. There are more mitzvahs for the individual than for the community. But there are many mitzvahs for the community. So appointing the king, building a base of Mikdash, settling the land of Eretz Yisrael, bringing the sacrifices on the holidays. These are national mitzvahs. But eating matzah, putting on tefillin, taking care of one's parents, returning lost items, these are mitzvahs for the individual. So we are supposed to perfect ourselves as individuals through the mitzvahs of the Yochid, the mitzvos, the commandments which God gave us to perform as private individuals, unique people. And we're also supposed to perform mitzvos and do God's will as a nation. Now, what's very interesting, my dear friends, is that, for example, some mitzvos have a double level. For example, the mitzvah of praying, the mitzvah of tefillah, there's an individual mitzvah and there's a national mitzvah. That's why in the synagogue, in shul, we say Shemona Esrei twice. We say the special prayer, the 18, 19 blessings, three times a day. Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. Those of us who attend shul, Shachris and Mincha, it's said twice. Once each individual person prays his own private prayer to God, his own Shemona Esrei, or her Shemona Esrei. And then there's a Chazor HaShatz, the leader, the Shliach Tzibur, the leader of the congregation, repeats the Shemona Esrei, repeats the prayer out loud, and everybody answers Amen. That's Tefillah of the Tzibur. That's a national or a group prayer. There's private prayer and there's group prayer. The Tefillah is a very interesting mitzvah, is that it functions on a double level, as a mitzvah of a yachid and as a mitzvah of a tzibur. However, certain mitzvahs are only mitzvahs yachid. For example, eating matzah. There's no national mitzvah to eat matzah. Each individual has his own private mitzvah to eat the matzah. Or to take care of parents. It's a personal mitzvah. There's no national mitzvah like that. Then there's other mitzvahs which are just national mitzvahs. Making a king, building a base on Migdosh, bringing the sacrifices of Tamid and Musaf. These are national mitzvahs. They have nothing to do with the individual. The nation is responsible. Now, the great challenge, according to the Shema Shmuel, and it's a very interesting point, the great challenge of a leader, of a national leader, of the King of Israel, is never to lose sight of his responsibility to each Jew as an individual, rather than just to be a national leader. I think it's a very difficult. It's very, very difficult for a leader of a nation to think of his people as individuals. It's much, much, much more comfortable and natural for him to think of the mass and individuals. Too many, there are too many individuals for him to take into account each one's individual needs. Certainly much more convenient to forget about individuals and deal with people as a mass, as a nation, as a whole. What was very interesting is that the Torah very much does not want the Jewish leader to take that exclusive national mode. The Torah wants the Jewish leader, of course, to be a national leader, and to think in terms of the nation, his decision-making, what's good for the nation and what's not so good for the nation. But the Torah, at the same time, wants him to be an individual, a leader of each individual. And you see a very phenomenal story in the Tanakh, which illustrates this very much. Maybe the greatest and most successful Jewish king in history was King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech. And in the Tanakh, it emphasizes that one of his greatest, if not the greatest quality which he had, was that Shlomo HaMelech was Chacham Mikolish. He was the wisest man in the world. He got a special gift from God of wisdom. He understood how animals talk and birds. He understood the chirpings of the birds and the neighing of horses and the braying of donkeys. He understood the dolphin talk. He even understood messages which vegetable, which trees, the singing of the trees. He knew a lot. He knew everything. He understood planets. He understood things which today are still mysteries, obviously. He knew everything, God's gift. He was the wisest. So you would expect that the illustration of his wisdom would be something as relates to the nation. And the Tanakh does speak about the beauty of his Beis HaMikdash that he built, the wonder, and the sages speak a little bit about also the national level. However, what's amazing is that in the Tanakh, what's emphasized is his wisdom vis-a-vis individuals. The Tanakh, the prophets, Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, wants to show us the wisdom of Shlomo, who was Chacham Mikol Ish, the greatest wisdom, wisest man in the world. What's his wisdom? So it tells you the story of the two women who were in a hospital. Both gave birth. And the Torah says that really these weren't even legitimate births. The two women were prostitutes and they had two illegitimate children. And they appeared in front of Shlomo, where one child was alive and the other child was dead. And the woman holding the dead child said, "That living child which this other woman has is mine. We gave birth together, and we both went to sleep with living children." And her child had crib death, died in the middle of the night. And unbeknownst to me, while I was sleeping, she got out of her bed and she switched children. She put her dead child in my bed. And she took my living child. And she refuses to give it back. And the one who's holding the living child says, "This whole thing is a concoction. Her child died. This is my child." No one was able to figure out what to do. So apparently, the nurses didn't have a good record, a clear recollection. And so, Shlomo Melech heard the case, and he said, "Take a sword and bring me the living child." So a soldier took the sword, and they brought the living child. And then Shlomo Melech says, "Cut the child in half, and we'll give half to each mother, because we don't know who it belongs to." And then all of a sudden, one of the women starts screaming, "Don't do it! I don't want you to kill my child!" And the other one wasn't saying anything. The other one was sort of standing there in shock. So Shlomo says, "The one who called out, 'Don't kill my baby,' that's the true mother." And this the Chazal, this the Torah, the Tanakh report was his greatest wisdom. And the Jewish people, it says, were amazed. What an amazing psychological event or trick to discover the truth. And I tell you, that between you and me, we still don't know which of those two women was really the mother. Was it the woman who came in with the dead child, or was it the woman who came in with the living child? I heard two different interpretations among different commentaries, but I'll leave it to you to think about that. In any event, the Tanakh says that this story of how Shlomo HaMelech decided and discovered who was the true mother, this is the illustration of his wisdom, of his heavenly wisdom. He could have said, "Shlomo HaMelech, such an amazing, brilliant leader, he got 1,000 wives, 1,000 countries, all made an alliance with him. He was able to make a worldwide alliance. He was the first United Nations of the world. He was a brilliant political tactician and made his country the leader of the civilized world of his day. A national stroke of genius." That the Torah doesn't say. The Torah says he took care of a prostitute, the dregs of society. with an illegitimate child, and he brought them in, two prostitutes, he brought them into his royal palace, and he himself decided who is a true mother. He was so concerned about a mother having her baby, not losing her baby, that he went literally to the dregs, the lowest class of the Jewish society of his day and age. And in that unfortunate, tragic, sad situation, he got his hands dirty. And he did it. And our sages say that Shlomo Melech was really following the lead of his father David. David was the great king of Israel, the great warrior who took Israel from being a very weak, small country and made it a world power. He defeated all the nations around, all the enemies of Israel, the Plishtim and Amalekim and Ammonim, etc. Yet, with Chazal, our sages want to point out the greatness of David. Our sages say that David HaMelech would spend every day checking questions of women who had questions about their menstruation, whether they were permitted to their husbands or not, because women who are nidam, the menstrual cycle, are prohibited. And you have to go many times to a rabbi to decide questions about the period of purity, when the wife is permitted or not. David spent his time, which was clearly supposed to be dedicated to the nation of Israel, the national goals and the national agenda, war and peace, etc. And David also was the great singer of the Psalms and prayer. He had his own personal devotion to Hashem, which was also very important. And David HaMelech was the head of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the Supreme Court in the Jerusalem, dealing with national judicial questions, not just political and economic problems as the king, but as the supreme. He was the chief judge. He was the chief judge. I mean, he was the great Talmud Chacham, dealing with great Torah problems. Nevertheless, he spent his time, the Gemara says, getting his hands dirty, literally, with blood, to help individual husbands and wife have a pure Jewish family life. So he was a king for each individual family had access to David. And in Shlomo Melech, each individual harlot, poor, rejected person, bitter person, unhappy person, could come into Shlomo Melech. This is a Jewish king. Jewish king is not just the king of Am Yisrael, of the nation of Israel. He's the king and the leader and the court of last resort and the father of every individual Jew, of each yachid v'yachid, of every single person. Rambam writes in his Mishneh Torah, Rambam writes that it says in the Chumash that one of the mitzvos of a Jewish king is that he should write a second Sefer Torah. Every Jew has a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah once in his lifetime. Many of us don't really do that. And it's a whole discussion, what are we doing to replace that mitzvah? Some say you can buy Sfarim, you can buy Torah books, and that's equivalent to writing a Sefer Torah. But in any event, some say one letter is good enough. In any event, there is a mitzvah for every Jew, certainly lechatchila, at the first level, to write a Sefer Torah. And the king, it says in the Chumash, has to write a second Sefer Torah. A second book. Second Sefer Torah. Second scroll of the Torah. And it says in the Chumash, V'hoya alibo tamid. This second Sefer Torah should be on the king's heart. In other words, it's a tiny Sefer, and he wears it like on a chain, and it's right here, right next to his heart. Rambam writes that the reason that the Torah has this mitzvah for the Jew to have a Sefer Torah next to his heart, because libo leiv kol Yisrael, the heart of a king is the heart of every Jew, and the heart of every Jew is connected to the Torah, is in the Torah and with the Torah, and therefore the king has to have the Torah in his heart, on his heart. But I want to point out is that the Rambam has the expression in Hilchos Malachim, Libo Leiv Kol Yisrael, that the Jewish king's heart is the heart of every other Jew. Within his heart, he has the heart of every Jew. He feels for every Jew. He's concerned with every Jew and Jewess. Not just the nation. Not just the glory and grandeur of being the national leader and monarch, but he has to be the leader for every single one of the people. For me and for you and for you and for you and for every one of our friends. This is a Jewish king. This is a Jewish leader. And that's why the Torah emphasizes here when this goes back to the original request of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yifkud Hashem Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Every person has his own spirit. Hashem knows that. And let the leader be someone who can deal with each individual spirit. And that's why Hashem tells Moshe, take Yeshua. Ish asher ruach bo. He has that spirit. He has that sensitivity to feel the individuality of every one of the Jewish followers. So we see clearly that the Jewish king has to touch and reach and service every single person, not just the masses. Now, my dear friends, this is an enormous challenge. This is very, very difficult. How can a person do that? How can a person really do that? How can a king be expected to do that? Okay, we say David did, Shlomo Melech did, but every Jewish king has... And I want to tell you something, that the Jewish king is a model for all Jewish leaders. Because the Gemara applies many of the rules of how you choose a king to how you choose a Jewish mayor. Even the Gemara says even a Jewish commissioner of water or whatever. A local commissioner of water, a local police chief, all of these people, anyone who services the community, any public servant, has to be modeled after the Jewish kings, the rules of the kings, who are the greatest, the chief public servant. That means that every commissioner, and every tax collector, and every policeman, not just dealing with the public, but with every individual in the public, as an individual. Now, how do you do this? It's very difficult. Shemesh Shmuel says, he gives a very wonderful analogy. He says, how does a commander in chief, a commander of the armed forces, How does he deal with the armed forces? Now, after all, the different parts of the armed forces, there's an Air Force, there's a Navy, there are foot soldiers, there are tanks, there's artillery. How does he deal with all these different parts of the army, of the armed forces? The answer is, every part of the armed forces has something in common with every other part and something different. All the armed forces are united with the single goal of victory. Whether you're an Air Force, or artillery, or tanks, or foot soldiers, your fundamental overriding goal is that the armed forces should defeat the enemy. It's the same goal for any soldier, any Air Force man, any sailor, to have that same goal, defeat the enemy. That's on the one hand, that there's this common goal. On the other hand, each part of the armed forces has its mission. The Air Force has its mission, and the tanks have their mission. What's the responsibility and the goal and the charge of the commander of the armed forces? It's to develop both. First of all, he has to make sure that all the soldiers in every part of those armed forces have that same goal, to defeat the enemy. And he also has to make sure that each part of the armed forces contributes its contribution towards achieving the goal of defeat of the enemy. So let's say, in order to defeat the enemy, we have to begin the campaign with artillery. Artillery goes first. If after that we need some commandos attacking through the Navy, then the Navy is second. If after that we need some Air Force to bomb the enemy positions, then comes the Air Force third. If after that we have to send in the tanks, we send in the tanks. And after that we send in the foot soldiers. Everything, every part of the army and armed forces does it what it has to do. But it's in tandem, it's coordinated with all the other parts of the armed forces because of the common goal of defeating the enemy. We don't say, if you're a tank, the tanks want to fight from day one till, and they don't care what's going on. That's wrong. They have to coordinate what they're doing with the artillery and with the Air Force and with the submarines and the commandos, etc. Everything has to be coordinated. Why would the tanks stand back and let the commandos go first? Because the common goal, to defeat the enemy. So that common goal of defeating the enemy, that's the glue, that's the wherewithal, that's the motivation, that's the factor which creates and is the foundation of the coordinated attack. And what's the commander-in-chief's job? To put together the common goal and the coordination of the different divisions. And this, Shema Shmuel says, is really the secret of Jewish leadership. How does a Jewish leader, how does a Jewish king, able to deal with all these different individual Jews? If first of all he can get, all the Jews to have the same goal, serving Hashem. We all have to be united with one fundamental common agenda. We are servants of Hashem, of God Almighty. We are bound by the Torah. This is our common agenda. This is our common mission. This is our common constitution. This is our common wherewithal and goal. Now, individual Jews or groups of Jews contribute their contribution towards this goal. Some Jews are rabbis, they have their contribution. Some Jews are businessmen. It's their contribution. Some Jews are workers. It's their contribution. Some Jews live in the Galil, the north of Israel. They contribute one way. Other Jews live in Tel Aviv. They contribute a different way. Other Jews live in Jerusalem, and so on and so forth. Each individual or group of individuals has their unique contribution to the goal of serving Hashem. We have a basic idea of Eluv, Eluv, Divi, Lekim, Chaim, the different paths, whether it's Hillel's path or Shammai's path or Rava and Abaya, etc., Rashi, Tosfos, Ramban, Rambam, Vilna Gaon, Baal Shem Tov, all the different kinds of methods and individual paths, whether it's individual or groups of individuals, have different ways of serving Hashem, and it's all legitimate. But there has to be one common goal, serving Hashem, advancing the Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name in the world, of making Am Yisrael, making the Jewish people a worthy representation of God in this world, to do Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify His name, to make it an honor for Hashem, for God, that He chose this holy people, and that this people is producing holiness in this world, and helping the world achieve the goal of the Messianic era of Mashiach, and to fix this world of all its sins and failings. But Am Yisrael has to do that. It's a national agenda. But we do it through individual and separate contributions. And the king has to be able to coordinate that. That's why the king has to know the kochos ha-nefesh, the powers of each individual soul, and be able to put it together to make an Am Yisrael, to make a Jewish people as ish echad b'leiv echad, as one person. But this person has many parts to him. He has legs, and he has fingers, and he has a head, and he has mouth, and he has eyes. And all these different parts of that ish echad, of that one person, that lev echad, and the lev itself has many parts. Sometimes the lev, the heart, sings, and sometimes the heart is crying. Sometimes the heart is full of energy, and sometimes the heart is lethargic. All these different aspects of the individual person are united in his life. All the different aspects of Am Yisrael, all the different kinds of Jews, all the different sub-communities, in their own way, contributing their own unique contribution to the common goal of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name in the world. And this has to be done under the tutelage, inspiration, leadership of the Jewish king, of the Melech, the man who knows how to unite people in that common goal, and meanwhile, activate them in their own special individual ways. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for. This is what Yeshua ben Nun was able to accomplish. So Shem Shmuel, to get back to our original question, why is this discussion, episode of the appointment of Yeshua ben Nun to replace Moshe, why is that the preceding discussion in the Torah, right before the discussion of the different sacrifices which are brought on different days of the year? The daily sacrifice of Tamid and the sacrifices of Musaf and the Chag. The answer is that the idea of the Korban Tamid, the idea of the daily sacrifices and the sacrifices of the Jewish holidays, is the idea of unity. In order, the Jewish people have to be united in order to bring these sacrifices. These sacrifices are a result of the half a shekel, which are collected every year from every Jew and are spent on the Kabbanos of the Talmud and the Musaf. In other words, through these Kabbanos, through these daily sacrifices, weekly sacrifices, holiday sacrifices, the Talmud and the Musafim, all the Jews subscribe to that common agenda of Kiddush Hashem, of creating a sanctification of Hashem's name. And that's the purpose of the Jewish king and the Jewish leader, to develop the Kiddush Hashem, to develop the sanctification. And in many different ways, because every Jew has his, every Jewish community has their way of adding to Kiddush Hashem. Just like in these sacrifices, the daily sacrifice is not the same sacrifice as Shabbos. And the Shabbos sacrifice is not the same sacrifice as Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh is not the same as Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, each of which have their own sacrifices, and Shmini Atzeres is another sacrifice. All these different kabbanos show that there's a variety within the common purpose. Within the common purpose of Avodas Hashem, there are many different variations. And so too, this is the goal of the Melech Yisrael. The Melech Yisrael has to promote the national common purpose of Kiddush Hashem, but do it by playing and developing the variations within the individual subgroups and even individual people who are Jewish. This combination of Tzibur and Yachid, this is the key to Kiddush Hashem. This is the key to the Kabbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Let us hope and pray that this wonderful goal of serving Hashem as a tzibur, as a nation, with our yachid, with our individual expression and variations, will be something which we will all be privileged to participate in our own day and age. Unfortunately, we're living in a time where we don't have a Melech Yisrael. We don't have such a Jewish king. We don't have David Melech Yisrael. We pray for this three times a day. Asemach David Abdecho Meres Atzmiach. That God should restore the Davidic dynasty. Let us hope, though, that as we go through this unfortunate time of lack of Malchus, lack of Jewish kingship, we, who are fundamentally, I would say, today functioning as individuals more than as a nation, somehow keep in mind that we want and we should try as much as we can to develop this national achdus, the national integration of purpose to serve Hashem as a united people, as an ish echad, b'lev echad, and at the same time, as yechidim, as individuals, serving Hashem, each one of us, in our own special, particular way. Thank you very much.